Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690. Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
That was Kenny Albert and Joe Micheletti. Where was Pierre McGuire on that night? You think he remembers? How are you, Pierre?
I believe I was working in Chicago.
Yes, you were in Chicago.
There you go.
Where are you right now?
A Saugatuck Rowing Club, watching my daughter row on the Saugatuck River.
My goodness. From Ryan playing hockey at a tournament in Buffalo to hanging out with Dad at the draft. How did Ryan enjoy that experience, by the way?
Loved it. Yeah. You know, when you get to sit with Robert Gordon Orr and Aaron Ekblad, that's not a bad night. That's not a bad way to spend the draft.
That's a pretty good scouting trip with Dad. A lot going on at the draft, since the draft. So let's get to it. The Richard story is dominating. We'll get to that in a second. Yep. Parenteau cleared waivers. It's official. Mark Bergeron called the decision difficult, but clearly they want to create some room for whomever might be next. What happened here?
Didn't meet expectation. I mean, obviously injury played part of it, but he didn't measure up to the expectation that the organization had for him in terms of run support and scoring. So, listen, what I respect the most about general managers in the league, especially ones that want to be proactive, they're not worried about what the media is going to say. They make the moves based on the numbers and what they think they have to do. It's a hard, cold, mean-spirited business. You're going to talk about Mike Richard soon. I know that. There's an example of hard, cold, mean-spirited business. It didn't work out. I remember sitting with PA last year at the Canadian Open at Royal Montreal and how excited he was and the conditioning levels that he attained going into camp. He was really, really excited to be part of the Canadians, very proud. It didn't work out. It happened. So they punted and they move on. I have no problem. I'll tell you what, Mitch, I know you're going to have a hard time believing this. I would do the same thing. I would have done the same thing.
No, I think what we saw, and again, the injuries certainly got in the way, but even when he was healthy, there was, you know, aside from the shootouts, which are important, they helped the Canadians get 2 points. Maybe that's another factor. There's probably not going to be any shootouts, right? There are no shootouts.
There should not be very many.
And
probably 85% of the games will be decided during overtime before shootouts.
What I saw was a guy who was very good with the puck, very good with the puck, good hands. Not much pace, and frankly, very weak in his own end.
All of the above fits. So you saw the proper things, and that's why I said, I hate to say it because I like the young man. He's not so young anymore, but I like him very much as a person, and I like him as a player. But in this scenario, it did not work, and they got to move on. And I can tell you right now, I would have done the very same thing.
It's interesting because I know there are some people out there who are wondering, let's see. Alan Walsh tweeted about P.A. Parenteau. Canadians couldn't have been pleased with what he tweeted. He did get him back in the lineup. Alan Walsh had Jiří Sikáč. So two of his clients gone very quickly out of Montreal. Would that affect how he does business with the Canadians? The answer clearly is no. Michael Frolik making it known today that at the top of his wish list is the Montreal Canadiens.
And I'm glad to hear Michael say that. I know he skates in Montreal a lot in the summer at my old high school, LCC, and Alan has a lot of players that are there. Listen, you know what? If you do your business that way, I've told you this for a million years, once you allow stuff to get personal, you're going to put yourself in a big hole. Listen, I tell you straight up, Brian Burke and I did not get along for 10 years. We were probably both guilty on a lot of fronts. Before the draft happened, we sat together way before the draft happened. We sat together for 35 minutes, just the two of us alone on the draft floor, just before he did the Dougie Hamilton thing. And now I'd like to think that we're both very friendly and very upfront. And once you get things going and you allow it to get personal, you can get off the rails pretty quick in this business.
Boy, the what Boston did still reverberating, and today they traded a third round pick in 2017 for Zach Rinaldo.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I like Zach too. But if you told me it was for a fifth or a sixth, I'd say okay. But for a third round pick, I don't know.
Pierre, it seems like some kid has taken over the Bruins front office. I hate to be disrespectful, but I mean that's what it appears to be. It's like, Who's running things? What are they doing?
They may be trying to put themselves in a spot where they think Austin Matthews can be the total rebuild next year. You know, a lot of people went after Connor McDavid, and the and Buffalo was one of them, and the consolation prize ended up being Jack Eichel, who's a pretty darn good consolation prize. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too, I'm sure. But I think maybe Austin says, you know what, we're not trending in the right direction. Dougie Hamilton wasn't going to fit into our internal salary cap. Lucic definitely was not going to, so we're moving them along. Now you see. So go over the last year and a bit. Tyler Seguin gone. Johnny Boychuk gone. Sean Thornton gone. Gregory Campbell gone. Danny Pallier gone. The two players I just talked about, Lucic and Hamilton, gone. You know, with all due respect, that's a lot of players gone. I think they're setting up where they're saying, we're starting our rebuild, and it started this summer.
Pierre McGuire on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mike Farber in less than an hour, part of the Hockey Hall of Fame committee, which we'll get to as well. Some people that Pierre knows very well are going in, along with Jay Farrar sitting in for Rod Francis this week. Sean Coleman in for Mitch Gallo. Okay, the Mike Richards situation, bit of a bombshell dropped earlier today. Everybody knew they were buying him out, and then they said, we are terminating the contract. Basically, they're saying we have just cause because something went on with Mike Richards. They believe it will also save them a ton of money on the salary cap. Certainly, they are going to contest this. If one assumes when they do, it eventually will land in the lap of Gary Bettman. It's kind of a sad ending to Mike Richards in L.A.
Very sad. That's why if I sound a little bit down in the dumps today, it's probably because of that. I like guys that leave it on the playing field or leave it on the ice surface. This is a man who bled for his country through two World Juniors, through the Olympics. Most important move in the 2010 Olympics wasn't pulling Marty Brodeur and putting in Roberto Luongo. It was asking Mike Richards to move from center to wing to play on a line with Rick Nash, left wing, Jonathan Toews, center, Mike Richards, right wing. It set the tempo in the quarterfinal game against the Russians, and it carried Canada through the gold medal game. It was a huge, huge coaching maneuver, but it was a guy that was prepared to sacrifice for the well-being of the team. Mike Richards, two Stanley Cups, World Junior Gold, American Hockey League champion, captain of his team in Philadelphia, tremendous leader. Something went off the rails, probably the alienation process of being sent to the American Hockey League last year. Undersized body who had to play big, lots of stuff going on, tons of moving parts. It broke my heart today when I heard about this because I respect the person so much. Things happen over the course of a lifetime. Not everybody's perfect, and we'll see what the outcome is. I have to think that the people at Newport Sports who represent them, in particular Patrick Morris, Mitch, they're going to challenge this. I have to think they will challenge this.
And you know, it was Dean Lombardi really – he's probably kicking himself now, but, you know, they win a Stanley Cup, and you just outline what kind of player he's been for the Kings and for his country, and he let – you talked about a mean, cold business, and he allowed his heart to take control about a year ago, and he decided to give him another shot.
Absolutely, and now you see what happens. Dean, in a perfect world, and I can tell you this too, Daryl Sutter really respects Mike Richards a ton. In a perfect world, they would have moved him after they won the cup, but the cap hit was too large and the term was too great, and that's why he wasn't able to be moved. That's what happened. It's, again, it's heartbreaking, but, you know, remember the great line by Roberto Luongo, my contract, S blank, U blank, you know what I mean?
Yep, it sucks.
Well, this is the same kind of deal with what's gone on with Mike Richards. The contract's great, but it's not great in terms of protecting you long term.
Now, Pierre, I don't have details other than somebody in the know is telling me that there's something happened with Mike Richards at a border crossing. And that's
correct. I'm not going to talk about it until it's made public. I have a pretty good idea of what's happened.
Okay. So the information I have is you can confirm that.
Your information is probably pretty accurate.
All right. Also bought out, Cody Hodgson. We kind of knew that was coming as well. Yeah. I think it was Bob McKenzie said if you would have said after the junior tournament that he had that in this short period of time that Cody Hodgson would be looking for work and was a buyout, I would have thought you were crazy. You've outlined what happened because his name has come up. A lot of injuries, a lot of back issues.
Absolutely. A lot of back injuries, a lot of bad injuries, limited foot speed. I thought he was going to have, and I was wrong in this, and I've told you this before. When I get it wrong, I'll tell you. I got it wrong on him. I thought he was going to have a breakthrough year last year. I spent some time in Buffalo before the season started. He really looked good. I thought he was fitting in, looked very comfortable playing there. It didn't work, and he looked slow this year. Disappointing. He, of all players that I saw this year that I thought was really going to have a great year, he probably disappointed me the most in terms of where I thought he was and where I thought he could get to. It didn't happen.
We knew once Jim Neal acquired the rights to Antiniemi, they'd probably get things done. They got things done. Is it too rich at this price, though, for Antiniemi?
I don't think so. You know, it's interesting. Both he and Kari Laitinen are 31 years of age. They didn't really play against one another a lot in the pro levels, except for in the NHL, only because Laitinen came over so early to go to Atlanta, and Niemi was a late bloomer. But they're both the same age. They know each other from Finland. I don't think that contract's too rich. I think it's actually pretty good for the Dallas Stars. I like what Jimmy's doing down there. They just need to add a little bit more defensive depth to their group, but I think they're going to be pretty good.
About an hour ago from Sweden.
I would say Vedemo.
There you go. Lukas Vedemo, second pick by the Canadiens in the third round.
Good skater, good hockey sense, I would say. And can work a little bit on my shot and maybe my aggressive. I'm pretty big also, so I can use my body a little more.
He had a car accident, suffered 6 broken ribs, right. He told us, and a lot of people weren't aware of him. He only got into, I think, 3 games a year ago. What did you make overall? We also have a couple more of their kids, Pierre, who weren't in the rink on the weekend. Matt Bradley in B.C., Jeremiah Addison in the Toronto area coming up between 5:30 and 6. What did you make overall of the Canadiens draft?
Solid, but too early to tell. I mean, this is, I think, more of a depth draft for the Montreal Canadiens than it is a home run draft. We'll see over time. This is one of those that basically where they were picking and how it all funneled out. They're probably looking at a 2 to 5 year window in terms of evaluating just how this draft worked out. It's hard to say how much fruit it's going to bear. It really is. I still think that their hard work's going to be done at the professional level this year going into the season, not at the amateur level.
You talked to us about Frolik. You talked to us about Bolesky.
Yep.
They're also in, apparently, they're certainly talking to, but not, they don't want to overpay on Patrick Sharp. We know that something was up, apparently, with Chris Versteeg. If you could pull one of those names, put everything together, experience, talent, age, contract status, et cetera, if there was only one guy that you could have, if you're Mark Bergeron and the Canadiens, who would you pick of that group?
Probably Bolesky because of the physical dimension to his game. He's a very pugnacious kid who's very familiar with PK Subban. I think that would help Montreal in terms of relationship going forward and team building. But I can tell you this. Today, my phone has rung significantly, and the one player that's getting a lot of attention is Michael Frolik. Michael Frolik, when he played with Marcus Kruger in Chicago in 2011 or 2012, when they won the Cup, 2013, when they won the Cup, those two guys were so under the radar, it was scary. They were so valuable to Chicago that Stanley Cup year. So, again, I look at it. Olik is a player that is extremely intelligent, can score if you need him to, not going to be shy, but he doesn't bring the physical dimension that Bolesky does. Bolesky's nasty, and he can skate. He can really skate.
And you believe, again, as we discussed at the draft, you believe he is just taking off. He is not a one-hit wonder.
No, go look at his numbers in junior. His numbers in junior in Belleville were great. He scored over 40 goals his last year junior. Not an easy thing to do. And again, I watched him score those goals this year, 22 goals playing for Anaheim. He really impressed me a ton, Mitch. And I did a lot of, you know, again, big games of a lot of different teams. Bolesky fit in the top 6 of a lot of teams. He did.
Who impressed you the most at the draft? Which organization?
Buffalo. Buffalo kicked butt. Buffalo had an amazing thing. I was talking to somebody today. They just jump-started their franchise big time. You look at that center ice position. If you're in the Eastern Conference now, and you're going to have to look at Jack Eichel, Sammy Reinhart, Ryan O'Reilly, and Zemgus Girgensen. Can you? Nah, come on, that's not even fair. That's Chicago West going forward. Chicago West down the middle.
The third individual elected in the player category was named the NHL's top defenseman an amazing seven different times. His illustrious resume also includes four Stanley Cup championships with the Detroit Red Wings and an Olympic gold medal with Sweden. The Hockey Hall of Fame is pleased to welcome as a player inductee Nicklas Lidström.
A little less than 90 minutes ago, John Davidson at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, Nick Lidström, Chris Pronger, Sergei Fedorov, Phil Housley. Your thoughts, Pierre?
I'm so happy. First of all, I'll get to the later, the ship for sure guys afterwards. Phil Housley merits this. Coming out of South St. Paul High School as an 18-year-old, making the NHL, playing with the great Gilbert Perreault. People forget that. That shows you how much his career transcended time. Phil Housley was a phenomenal, phenomenal player, both on the international level, the NHL level, and the pre-NHL level. To do what he did, playing in Buffalo as an undersized defenseman with the red line in, he was fantastic. I know there were some people doubting him, but I'm so glad Phil Housley's in. I really have a lot of time and respect for Phil. I'm happy for him.
Did you think that it would be a matter of time, or did you think there was a lot of debate that perhaps he wouldn't get in?
I thought there was a lot of debate that he wouldn't get in. And that's why it's taken so long for him to get in. But I'm glad that he's in. That's why I'm really happy for him. In terms of the other players, they were all home runs, especially Pronger and Lidström. Lidström's the best player ever out of Sweden. You can say whatever you want. Try to pick Forsberg. Try to pick Naslund. You can go after anybody you think that's ever played in Sweden. Nick Lidström's the best Swedish-born player ever. Ever. And he's one of the top four defensemen all time in the National Hockey League. And not only is he a great player, was he a great player, he might be one of the best citizens the NHL ever had in their entire league. Phenomenal, phenomenal person. So that one was a slam dunk. I had the privilege of being Christopher Pronger's first coach. I respect him very much as a player. He's grown significantly as a person. In his time, he was as good a defenseman as there was in the league. And so he clearly merits this. And Fedorov was fantastic. You can ask Scotty Bowman how good Fedorov was, especially in his prime.
Of the guys who were passed over, which of these players do you think get in sooner than later, if at all? Dave Andrychuk, Eric Lindros, Mark Recchi, Jeremy Roenick, Curtis Joseph, Chris Osgood.
My heart breaks for Mark Recchi. Three Stanley Cups in three different cities. That's a pretty phenomenal record, plus over 500 goals. That's a pretty amazing record. I have to think at some point he's going to merit an opportunity. Jeremy Roenick is one of the best American-born forwards ever to play. At some point, I think that will carry some favor with the deciders, the voters. I have to think that Lindros is going to get in at some point. I have to think he's going to get in. I don't think it's going to be easy for Curtis Joseph, and I think it's going to be very difficult for Chris Osgood, very difficult.
And what about Andrychuk?
I don't think he's going to get in.
Neither do I, yeah. He's a guy who was really good for such a long period of time.
Yep, and his last year was a Stanley Cup year in Tampa Bay. But again, it's not always fair. It's
yeah, 640 goals can't get you into the Hall of Fame. Tough luck, kid.
how many goals did Shanahan have?
How many goals did Brendan Shanahan have? I don't know, but he looked pretty sharp walking along A1A in Fort Lauderdale at the Leafs after party on Saturday night.
No, but my point is that he didn't have as many as Andrychuk, but he got the Stanley Cup and he was in the right place at the right time.
656.
What's that?
656 goals.
How many did Andrychuk have?
640.
So he had a few. Sorry, my apologies. And he had more. But there you go. That's
Shanahan scored 656 goals. I can't believe he scored 656 goals.
Yeah.
I missed a lot. I didn't realize he had 656. Brendan Shanahan?
I thought he was at 604, but I must have missed
how many guys have scored over 600 goals? You got that list right in front of you, Jay? Why not? Broadwood have that list of 600 goals in front of them. Pierre, we'll let you get back to your daughter rowing. We'll do it again tomorrow as we get closer to July 1 and free agency day.
So we're talking tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir. I hope so.
I look forward to that. Oh, yeah, done deal. I look forward to that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Mitch, it was really good seeing you and Mitch Gallo down in Florida. It really was. I enjoyed that very much.
It's been too long.
Didn't you think the draft was great? I mean, it was really good. It was really good. You know, it's interesting, just to leave you with this, there were a lot of moves made. There are a lot of moves coming.
Can't wait.
Me neither.
Talk to you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Pierre. Way to go. Yeah, that was good. Good sloppy ending there.
The song ended.
No. Why? You're looking for the 600 goal list. Can you find it?
18, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Sean Coleman. He took some time off from getting his next update ready. Yes, 18 members. Very quickly, go from top 1 to 18.
Top down, we go Gretzky, Howe, Hall, Dion, Jagr, Esposito, Gartner, Messier, Yzerman, Lemieux, Solani, Robitaille, Shanahan, Andrzejczyk, Sakic, Hall, Cicerelli, and Curry with 601.
There's your 600 goal.
Got it right in front of me here.
All of them, except for Andrzejczyk and Solani, who's not yet eligible, are in the Hall of Fame.
Jay's going to do the next update.
And Jagr, who's still
playing. He's got a late-breaking story. P.A. Parenteau has been bought out.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.